Get your Bibles out. I'm glad there are lots of you today because there are lots of verses we're going to go over today. So I won't review. So we will we'll get right to it. Yes, I'm looking at my daughter in the back. All right, but she will probably by the number of verses. She'll probably actually have to read a verse today.
Because Laura doesn't have to.
Yeah, Laura doesn't have to. She brought strawberries for the teacher. And just take that as a lesson for the rest of you. Bringing a gift to the teacher of food is well appreciated. All right. How about Jessica? You want to start off with the first one, which is Ephesians, if I've got the right lesson, Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. And it's on the sheet.
But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus.
Okay, first question. What or where are the heavenly places? Out of that verse, he said he has seated us in the heavenly places. Where are they? What are they? He seated us there.
They're where Christ is.
Good. Any others?
The right hand of the Father.
Where Christ is seated. Good. I hadn't thought about this one when I was reading, some of the verses preparing on this. It was like the heavenly places, and then where is that? Is that in heaven or where above the sky? And I started to think about it. But in essence, what Wayne says is right. It's where Christ is. And I checked, and it's only in the Ephesians that the term heavenly places is used. And it's only in Ephesians 1:3, 1:20, 2:6, 3:10, and 6:12. And most of the places, the places is, on your translation of the New American Standard, it actually has it italicized, which means it wasn't found in the original Greek, but is implied by it. So it's the heavenly is actually the way it should be translated, and that's the Greek word is epuranios, and it's above the sky. So, in the Ephesians one, it's different. It's implied heavenly places, and I was trying to think about that. Where is that? I mean,
is that multiple
places? Well, yeah, but where is Christ? I think Lewis Berry Chafer looked up what he'd called on it, and what is termed as heavenly places is a phrase which is peculiar to the Ephesians letter and has no reference to heaven as a place or to specific places of spiritual privilege here on earth. A lot of times we have heaven or here, and it's not that way. But it does refer to the present realm of association with Christ, which association is the inherent right of all those who are in Christ Jesus. The association incorporates various spheres of common interests and undertakings. So it's basically what you said. Heavenly places is with Christ, where Christ is.
It's a spiritual realm. It's got to be another dimension because it's part of that unseen.
Wherever Christ is. And
it doesn't mean it's not here.
Right.
Because we're seated with Christ right now.
Positionally, we're seated with Christ.
Right.
Positionally, we are.
We're in a heavenly place right now.
In essence, yes. Positionally, yes. I mean, no question about it. It's kind of on the conditional side. Is this heaven? I don't know. I don't think so. But it's where Christ is, and Christ is indwelling us. So the heavenly places, is our association with Christ. It's wherever Christ is the heavenly places, and Christ indwells you. So positionally, it's Christ is at the right hand of God the Father. Positionally, that's where it is, but also indwelling in us is Christ. So it's here in us. So it was kind of I just hadn't when going through this verse in the heavenly places, you always kind of think, you know, heaven, where is that? I hadn't thought about that. So, but he says in Lewis Barry Schaefer, the spheres of common interest or undertaking. That's where we're going to look at five of those. Under the 26th position possession that we have is a heavenly association. So this is the 26th one out of the 34 that we've gone over is a heavenly association. And under that we have these common areas of interest or undertaking. Partners, the first one is partners with Christ in life. And Craig, you want to take Colossians 1:27. Norm, can you take Colossians 3:4? Where do you want to go? Marla, you want to take 1 John 5:11 through 12? And Craig, why don't you take do 1:26 and 27? Colossians 1:26 and 27.
That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Okay, Norm, Colossians 3:4.
We would have done that another 2 more weeks.
Yeah, that's right. 28th, right? Yeah. We could have prayed for that, too. The 28th, your surgery.
When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory.
Good. What 1 John 5:11 and 12?
And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life.
Good. So, question two, what life do we now have and how is it different? So, what is the new life from those verses?
Christ.
What was that?
Life in Christ.
Christ. And Christ is where from these verses? Far, far away.
In
a far, far galaxy, far, far away.
Christ in you.
In us, yeah. From those verses, we look in from the Colossians 1, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When Christ, who is our life, in the Colossians 3:4, 1 John 5:11, this life. And the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Again, so the new life is in Christ. You know, I still marvel, and I go through that so many times. If you have, you know, some of these electronic ways to do it, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. There's so many references of that everything we have in Christ, we are in Christ. He is in us, indwelling, and the life is in him. And so the indwelling of Christ is in us as new creatures in Christ. So that's the new life. How is it different from any other life?
Our old nature, our old life is dead.
Correct. So that means we have new life, and what about that new life? What's different about it? What?
It's eternal.
Eternal. The 1 John 5:11, and given us eternal life. We have eternal life in Christ. Remember, everything is true about Christ. It's true about us. Is there an end date for Christ? Nope.
Also, it's flawless.
It's flawless. Yeah. Right now we have the old nature in us. Once we shirk these shells and step before him face to face, we've gotten rid of the old nature, and then yeah, we won't have this struggle that we have right now. So it's eternal. It's new, and it's in him. It's not in Adam, and it's not condemned. So it's a new life in Christ. Yeah.
Well, eternal life. You have eternal. Everybody has eternal.
Yeah.
So the opposite of that alternative is that is eternal death.
Eternal death or eternal condemnation, separation. Right.
Born into eternal death.
Right. Right. Yeah. That is kind of a when I was putting this together, I thought about that. We all have eternal life. It's where it is in separation, and the judgment, and death, basically the separation for eternal without Christ. But then we also have eternal life with Him, seeing Him as Lord and Savior.
But yeah. The difference there is eternal life and eternal death.
Death
being separated from.
But it's not like death as in. No, poof, gone.
Yes.
No, cease to exist. It is still eternal life, but it's eternal death, which is the separation. So it's just it's you still have life, but it's under condemnation and separation from God.
And that's eternal, separated from anything that has anything to do with God.
Exactly, and the punishment and the everything. Yes,
it is the distinction you're making in Colossians 1:27, the hope of glory.
Yeah, the hope of glory. I mean, that's the difference between eternal death and eternal life that we have. The hope of glory. We have glory. We have that, you know, as we go through all this, that intimate fellowship. Remember, Papa, Daddy. I mean, we have that versus the one who goes through the judgment seat and doesn't have life. I mean,
depart from me, I never knew you.
What a contrast. And you know, as Mike says, and I, you know, we struggle with that when I talk. Even at that point, when you're face to face, you're still going to deny Him and still want to choose death. Man, is that you know, what a contrast, and you're still saying, I'd rather be over here. That just blows my mind. How, I mean, you know, maybe you get the excuse that you can't by faith see the Lord right now. But at that time, you're going to see Him face to face. And you're still going to basically spit in His face and say, I want to go that way.
You know, I think we so much think, well, he's our cowie. All right. Well, he knows now. He maybe know, but he's still defiant.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he won't know.
There's no...
It's still going to take.
Yeah.
It's not like he's going, oh, I had a change of mind.
Yeah.
No.
Oh,
well, no, he's...
Now that I see, yeah, I didn't know.
Not 72 virgins. Not, doesn't have the 72 virgins he was looking for. You know, it's the judgment seat. You know, he's being judged and separated. And he wants it that way. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I just, you know, Mike and I have talked about that, and it's just, that just boggles my mind. Once you see it, wouldn't you go, oh, I made a mistake. I want to go here.
He's
I want to be with you.
He's been lied to.
Yeah, well.
There's no begging. And
yet he's still.
Well, he knows the truth now.
Yeah, see that.
And he still rejects it.
He still rejects it. See, and that's, I'm with you. I mean, it's like, how do you do that? How do you see God? How do you see Him in all His glory and still reject Him? But that's what happens.
It's interesting when I've been involved in the evangelism explosion for years, and I share with people. It is interesting, and you try to explain the difference between heaven and when they start, you know, questioning you. They'll still.
Oh, yeah.
Deny. I will.
And no. Well, see, I can see it now, because you can't by, I mean, you have to by faith see the Lord. But face to face.
But they didn't clarify what El Cam is.
Oh, yeah.
Never got up before. There's never question. There's no, it's through all eternity.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't phase. You know? Mm-hmm. But they see the world, you know, now as kind of the good stuff, and I'll live the way I want and take my chances. And, you know, just what, to me, it's just the boggling part is when you see Him face to face and you still make that decision. How do you do that? But that's the way the heart is, and the way the old, you know, it goes back to what we were saying. Remember when we went through all of Adam and our identification with Adam? Remember how desperately wicked, nothing good about Adam. That's what carries through to that judgment seat, or when you're face to face with the Lord. That's all that stuff that we talked about how bad Adam is, comes to fullness right there. No, I'd rather reject you right now.
Isn't it choosing yourself over?
Yeah, and it's that old Adamic nature. It's self-focused. It's, you know, nothing good. Remember everything we went through? I remember going through one of the lessons I had, and it was just how wicked the Adamic man is. And that just carries through even to the point you're standing face-to-face with them.
I just can't understand it. I mean, even when I start clarifying it and you see scripture, I mean, I clarify it, and just they get angry with you.
Yeah.
They really do. They become angry with you.
Yeah.
There's no such thing.
I was just thinking the both sides. You know, you're talking about seeing him face to face, but then in Revelation, as you go through there, that we know, that they know it's God pouring out judgment on the earth, and they still curse it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, when you realize what's going on at that period, I mean, you've got to know this isn't just a bad day, you know. It is everything coming down, and you know it's supernatural, and they're still cursing him. You know, get on board at that point, please, but they don't.
A lot of them think that we'll just wait till that last moment before the wheels fall off.
Yeah.
And
sometimes, in fairness, you know, the Lord's willing to wait as long. I mean, you can be on your deathbed. Yeah. And I think he can do it. You lose a lot of blessings through life of knowing the Lord, but he's willing to wait until that last minute. And sometimes, you know, we've known some friends who were, you know, 60, 70 years old and come to know the Lord late, you know, because I think they start realizing that. They're about to step over, you know, and then the rubber meets the road. You know, you're really starting to think about things. And I think that's when you do have some opportunities, even though they've rejected for a long time. But many of them, till their dying days, will reject, you know, hardness of heart.
Does it mean when it says every knee shall bow?
At that
everyone even deny?
Everyone will. And at that point, they will deny and be rejected. You know, he will bring everybody in submission, but at the judgment seat, that's when you, at the judgment seat, you'll be cast into the lake of fire, and that's it, done.
So they'll have to submit.
I don't know.
They'll be brought into submission.
Yeah, at that point.
Or an acknowledgement.
At that point, they will. I mean,
it's not
at that point, they're completely separated. It's separation from God and the punishment. You know, that's all the wrath, everything is poured out upon them. For eternity. Yeah, that's eternity. It's not like a, you know, Hal going through all the chemo treatments. You know, at the end, there's like the chemo treatment's going to stop. In eternal judgment, it doesn't stop. And I, you know, my little engineering brain, you know, eternity, that's a long time. You know, that's a long time. And it doesn't stop, and they still choose that. It just, bothers me. Anyway. The new life, and it's eternal, new, in Him, wonderful. How many times do you think in the New Testament is the thought of new life in Christ expressed to the believer? Take a gander.
500.
Nah, that's a little much. But 80 times. 80 times this thought of new life in Christ is brought out in the New Testament. You think that's significant? You think the Lord wants to get this thought out? Our new life in Christ? About 80 times. I think it's like 78 times. This new thought in Christ, our new life in Christ, is brought out. You know, I go through numbers. You know, if 80 times... I think he kind of wants us to know about that, you know, and how good that is. Our new life in Christ. It's about 80 times that thought is brought out through the New Testament. So, again, an important aspect there. Question 3. What do the verses say about Christ and our life? From Colossians, the 3:4, what does it say about it? Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Okay? Who is our life? Who is our life? Christ is our life. You know, that's who our life is right now. That's our new life in Christ. But any other is that we'll be revealed with him in glory. Incredible. 1 John 5:11 and 12. And the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is where? In his Son. And who has a Son has what?
Life.
Who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Okay? I mean, our life is in Christ. That's the key. Just, I mean, 80 times in the New Testament. New life in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. And then, you know, all the other aspects and attributes. Eternal, new, wonderful, just all the different things we have in Christ. Okay, partnership in position. Ephesians 2:6. Where did I leave off? Oh, do you want to read today or do you? Oh, you want to. Okay. You didn't have to today because you brought strawberries.
And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Okay. And Peggy, what do we got? Colossians 3:1-2.
If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, for Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth.
All right. First of all, I thought this the partnership in position. Think about what that means. Louis Barry Chafer says, the honor and glory of it are knowledge unsurpassed. You know, when you think partnership in position, we have a partnership in position with Christ. Where are we seated? With him in Christ, in the heavenlies. So from these verses, where are we positionally? In the heavenly place, you've been raised up with Christ. I give it away. You know, I get ahead of myself. The word for raised up is sunigiro, and that's obviously the Greek. My poor translation of it. And basically, it means raised up together, or rise with. In the Colossian passage, I brought this one out. You guys are going to have to dig out your sheets if you don't have one. I know you're not going to have them either. This word is aorist passive. Ooh, look, some do. I'm so impressed. what does aorist passive indicative mean? That's in the Colossians passage that raised up. So the Colossians passage, if then you have been raised up with Christ. Okay, the raised up is aorist passive indicative. What does that mean?
Past completed action.
Okay, so it's already done. So it means we have been raised up. Done. Completed. Past.
And it's done to us.
There you go. Because of the passive. So what did we have in this? Nothing. Did we do anything to raise us up? Nope. Okay, and then indicative. It's a fact. So, you know, that's why these are good to look at. Because think. Here, Wayne. the big sheep.
Got someone figure out what it was for us.
Yeah.
Going to have to figure it
out. Who doesn't have the sheet? What do you mean? Somebody who doesn't have
the
sheet?
Well, someone already figured it out.
Oh.
What it was.
Oh, yes.
We just have to look at the definition.
What?
Well, they figured out that it's passive.
Oh, yes. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Well, and you can get it somewhat from the verse, mm-hmm. too. I mean, you have been. It's past tense. So Pat and so the aorist, it's a past completed action. But that, you know, bringing it out in that, you know, this is something that's already transpired. It's past completed, and we didn't do anything about it, which kind of the old man rubs the wrong way in that we always want to try and do something. What did we do to help raise ourselves up with Christ? We did nothing. And then it's a statement of fact. It is a fact. It's no questions asked. Not to be discussed. It's done, completed, and we didn't have anything to do with it. Then when you look at the, it's the same word in the Ephesians passage in verse 6, Ephesians 2, 4 through 8. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he had loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us. It's a little different on this one. This one, in the Ephesians, it's aorist active indicative. So, the aorist means past completed. Active, what does that mean?
Subject produced.
Mm-hmm. So that's different. So do we have something to do in this? Nope. it's phrased basically. Who is the subject? We are the ones being raised. So we're active in that. We're the one being raised. And so it's a little twist, but it's the same. It's still aorist. It's still past completed. We're the one. We're the subject of this one. So we're the subject being raised. So that's why it's the active one, and then indicative again. It's a past completed action, and it's statement of fact or reality. So again, these are both telling us that again we have been raised up. It's not something that we look forward to. Positionally, we have been raised up right now. You know, and sometimes I think do I live thinking that and knowing that? That's where my condition comes in. Do I believe that? And do I believe that I'm positionally seated in the heavenlies? You know, it's a past completed action. No question. Not going to be discussed. It's done. So, again, it's just the thought that we don't have to wait for this. It's already done positionally. And that just blows my mind. I mean, positionally, we are seated in the heavenlies. So, when did this start, and how long will this position last? Easy. When did it start? For us, yeah. See, it's that weird translational thing, you know. When you get into Christ, you have eternality, but for us, right. And when we accepted Christ, when we believed in Christ, that's when it started. And then we get the eternality, and then we're back. It's kind of a weird, yeah. and then how long will it last?
Until we goof up again.
Till we mess up, yeah. That's you know, I hate having that hammer over us.
We don't really know.
You go to the church of today only. Yeah.
The Bible says.
Yeah.
Sealed
forever, eternal. The Colossians says, you know, in the Ephesians it's for the ages to come. In Colossians it says eternal. Okay, partners, number C, partners with Christ in service. And where are we up to? So we got Wayne and Brian. You'll have 1 Corinthians
1:9. God is faithful, by whom we were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Okay, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building.
Right. And who do we want to go to? Donna, I guess. You have 2 Corinthians 3:5. I do 3:5, 5, and 6.
Okay. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life.
Hey, Steve, you got 2 Corinthians 5:20.
Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were entreating through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ be reconciled to God.
Okay, Erlene, the 2 Corinthians 6:4. Did I get that right?
But in all things, approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses.
Yeah, you know, that was the beginning of that one. When you read through that one, What did we sign up for? I cut it off at that point. I thought about carrying it out, but it's you get the flavor of where you're going with that one. Much endurance, afflictions, hardships, distresses, and goes on. Which is one of those ones, you know, did we sign up for the good ship lollipop that everything is great and wonderful from now on once we know the Lord? No, there's lots of trials and different things. But from 1 Corinthians 1:9, what does fellowship mean? It says, God is faithful through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. What does fellowship mean?
Relationship.
Relationship. Other words, thoughts? Fellowship with what?
Identification.
The easy answer, the course. It is, but the fellowship's a different aspect of it. Our identification is everything about us is same with or everything that's true about Christ is true about us. Our identification with him, our federal head. This is fellowship. Any other words that describe fellowship?
It says, coffee and donuts.
Yeah.
Union.
Sharing. Union's good.
Sharing of.
Maybe when we step into positionally, we can have coffee and donuts for the Lord. Have, you know, I'm not a Starbucks fan, so I hope it's not Starbucks.
His sharing of his sufferings and his life is.
Bingo, that's a lot. You know, the Corinthians ones gave it away a little bit. It's suffering. I mean, there's sufferings involved. It's fellowship. It's fellowship in his sufferings and just fellowship with him. The actually, and you've probably heard this word before, the word that is used in that one is koinonia. Have you heard that word before? That's, you know, usually one of those words that's brought out a lot. It's koinonia. It's a partnership, is the definition of it. So it's a partnership or, sometimes termed as an agreement. So it's not as much coffee and donuts, as a partnership with Christ. An agreement I like partnership better than agreement. Agreement sounds more formal. Sounds like we have a written document and we signed on the dotted line to do this. You know, it's like a job thing. But partnership sounds better. It's a partnership with him.
Can you define his sufferings?
on the cross, he was suffering, you know, was he in the trials before the cross? What did he do that was wrong? Nothing. But he suffered for it. Suffering of rejection. You know, he even says that you know, the world rejected him, the world will reject you. When you look in some of the things in John 17 too, I think there's some reference on that. You know, we've left him in the world but not of the world. And just like him. You know, he was rejected. He was all the trials. I mean, that was some of it was physical, but a lot of it was just the rejection of who he was. We will suffer that same thing.
Well, I think we do anyway, even today.
Yeah.
The unbeliever hates the believer.
What Arlene was saying, I mean, just what you were saying, they get angry at you. They get, you know, sometimes I find that to be somewhat of a, I mean, I don't know how to put this. Sometimes you can be irritating and a pain, and you say that, you know, that people got mad at you because Christ, they're mad at Christ. Well, you know, sometimes, I mean, there was a guy on an airplane, I remember, and this was before as a Christian, and I think I may have shared this one time, and this, I was coming back from, it was kind of a tough trip, and this is when I was young, and I was coming back in the plane, this guy buttonholed me for like 4 hours on this plane. It was a cross-country flight. And he was trying to ram the gospel down my throat, big time. And I just, you know, I didn't want, and 4 hours, he wouldn't let me go. And I, you know, I said no, and I really don't want it, you know, and it was a tough time. And 3 or 4 hours, the guy would not let me go. I mean, I got off more mad than I wanted, you know, I wanted to kick him out the emergency exit, you know. And, you know, and there was no place to go. And I, you know, I think about that, and I thought, you know, but I got to think in God's perspective, you know, he's using everything. And, you know, maybe that made me think. I don't know. At that point, I didn't want to have anything to do with Christianity after that. Because I had 4 hours, and I didn't want... I mean, the guy would not let me go.
4 hours in that little 2x4 room.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could not go anywhere. It's not like I could step outside for a minute. You know, it was... You know, so, I mean, things like that. But there is persecution for who you are in Christ. I mean, there are people... Look at... You know, just the way the media and everybody treats Christians. You know, it's amazing when you look at how, you know, we'll feel sorry for the poor, you know, Zarqawi because, you know, he had a troubled youth and all this. But then they'll attack Christianity in a heartbeat. You know, all the different things. And so there is a persecution even today, the sufferings that Christ had. And he said that we would have trials, we'd have sufferings. We'd have things that people would persecute us because we are Christians. And I think you find that. You know, some people in the world, when you bring up Christ, sometimes they do. They just get angry. Even if you just bring it up and you walk away.
Is part of the suffering also when people do not accept it?
I think there's probably some on ours, but, you know, I get a little bit away from that in that then you're feeling personally responsible for it. I think if there's... You know, just the sorrow that they don't accept it. You have this big gift, you know, Mike, you know, the guy in the White House next door, we have a gift. It's already packaged. It's paid for. It's done. But he hasn't accepted the package. Yeah, you have a sorrow for that. But, you know, the sorrow, the personal sorrow that they didn't do it, you can get into, I blew it. I didn't do what I had to do. It's the Lord who does it. It's the Holy Spirit working and convicting people. I just have to be a willing, you know, we had this, Sam Dalton is a friend of ours, he went to be with the Lord, and he always used to carry a straw, you know, that's what we're to be, straws, conduits, to bring, but that's it, you know, we aren't supposed to, you know, I'm not notching my belt with every one that comes to know the Lord, you know, I'm trying to get at your the rejection, sorrow for the rejection that they're missing out on the gift that God has provided to them freely. And they reject it, yeah. But I'm trying to get away from that guilt that you did something wrong. You know what I mean? You shouldn't have that. I mean, you...
I don't think that's a problem.
Yeah.
I just think that you have a compassion for somebody, but you realize it isn't what you're doing.
Yeah. As long as that's, I guess, the point. You know, some people get in and it's, you know, so sorrowful because they didn't, you know, I should have said something when I had my... There are a lot of times suddenly I get the clamp on the mouth, you know, and I wish I would have said something. But, you know, God used somebody else. I missed the blessings of that day. Yeah.
Well, I kind of joke around that with that a little bit, but you've been in the meetings where they call fellowship hours.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, you kind of stand around talking about last week's football
game. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but on the other hand, the guy that had you in the airplane, that wasn't necessarily fellowship either.
No.
So it's that fellowship goes into interactions with your brothers around you too, sister. So where do trying to form this question, but fellowship translates somehow into an interaction. And you may or may not topically be talking about something, but you have this understanding. Connection.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be just talking about football. I mean,
exact
sense, but with the Lord, your fellowship is...
You know, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, you've all been in it. When you're with fellow believers, it's just more relaxed. It's just a different feeling than going into a group of non-believers and you know, and so there's the fellowship part. This one, I think, is a little bit different. And the word, like I said, I was going after is partnership. And it isn't the coffee and donuts as much as we're in partnership with Christ. We're in partnership in being, and then the other word in here was an ambassador. You know, we're to be an ambassador which verse is it here? In 2 Corinthians 5:20. Ambassadors for Christ. And so that was in question 7. What does it mean to be an ambassador for Christ? Did you want something early?
No, I think it's all over the law. I start talking to a man who accepted Christ. I found out that he was a Muslim. I tell you,
yeah.
He has been angry
Really?
Things are going on in my apartment. I don't know. Somebody, of course, his Muslim beliefs are totally contradictory to Christ.
Just a bit different. All right, ambassador for Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, what does it mean to be an ambassador for Christ? What is an ambassador?
Representative.
Perfect. That's Webster's dictionary. Was representative. Even the Greek word, the presbyo, is act as a representative. So we are to be representatives of Christ. And that, you know, that's some of those ones, you know, when we represent him, we are representing Christ. We are to be Christ-like. We are to be conformed to the image of Christ. As we do that, we can represent him. We are an ambassador of Christ. And we're, it's the guy in the plane, you know, the sensitive, or, you know, and I've always been sensitive to that ever since, you know, to buttonhole somebody and just pound them.
It isn't the straw theory.
Yeah, you know, it isn't the straw. That was force feeding with an 80 PSI pump, you know. It's my upbringing in Wells. Yeah.
He'd be a self-proclaimed or self-promoted representative. I think, like, when we talk about rest.
Yeah.
Resting in Christ, he, the Holy Spirit, grows us so that his glory will shine through us and show others.
Yes.
He'll show himself through us, not us
exactly
going out and beating the street.
Who's the one who does it? It's the Holy Spirit. Yeah. You know, and that's why I think, you know, and some of the guy who was buttonholing me, and, you know, I think he wanted the notch on his belt.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you know, I got 5 Christians this month. I met my quota or something. You know, it was like, I got to temper that by the fact that the Lord may use that on some people. It's just not on me. And you just have to be sensitive to who you're talking to and how, and you know, there may be somebody who needs that, who's, you know, across the street. Maybe he needs that. Yeah, the guy in the White House. Buttonhole him and pound him for 5 hours. I don't know. You know, I temper all that the Lord uses many different straws, many different sizes of straws to push that through. So I shouldn't, I use that just as a personal example of being sensitive, you know, to be an ambassador for Christ. You know, you don't have to win every, you know, it's kind of like, who is Tom, a DIA ambassador or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? Yeah, it doesn't. You know what? If he had to, you know, he took that and put his Christ ambassador hat, and everybody who came up that elevator, DIA, had to be accepted. You know, an ambassador. He just represents. He helps. He does. You know, and that's, you know, the word is a representative. We're to represent Christ. We don't have to force the issue. And as we conform, it's a natural thing. Natural in that our new life will come out. Did you have something else, sir?
Well, maybe you already just answered it, but the fact of the matter is he is, that guy in the plane was an ambassador. But maybe it's a matter of technique.
Yeah.
So, you know, where is that element addressed for us? Other than our own perceptions and sensitivity.
And I have to think about that. I don't know. You know, it's just being sensitive to people and the Holy Spirit working through you. I don't know.
Christ's example, you know, he went through and threw things on the floor in the temple.
Yeah, and that's what I say. That's why I temper it by God uses a whole lot of different ways. You know, he's sensitive to the woman at the well. He's sensitive to, you know, others. You know, touch his garment, and he's sensitive. You know, but then he turned over every money changer at the temple. You know, and so there's different things. So that's why I said I backed off, and I said that maybe he was an ambassador, but to the wrong country at this time. I was the wrong country. He wanted to, I don't know. And you know, to be honest, maybe that was something in my, you know, coming to know the Lord in time. I don't know. Maybe it made me think. Yeah. Oh, it was before. Yeah. Well before. And so, you know, maybe that was something that the Lord used to make me think about it, or to be sensitive when I came to know the Lord, that I didn't repeat that. I mean, so I don't discount that as, and again, mine is the Lord is in control of all things. That wasn't by accident. That wasn't by chance. That wasn't just a guy and he randomly teed off and went, you know. There was a purpose for it. And maybe it is for me that you know, I'm a competitive, go-after guy. Maybe that was the Lord before I came to know the Lord. Don't do this, you know, that I'm going to be the one going out there pounding somebody for 4 hours on a plane. You know, so I want to back off quite a bit. It was a wrong time and wrong place for me at the time. But God used it, I think. So we are going to be woefully, we are done, right? All right. I don't know if I'll check with Mike if we want to finish up these last couple ones or we'll get into his. And he has questions. Actually, why don't we close with prayer real quick and then we'll get the questions. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Father, we thank you for any time we can spend in your word. We just thank you for the fellowship that we do have in Christ. We thank you for that union that we have amongst believers. And we just we thank you that you love us so much and you use all sorts of different circumstances and different events in our lives to conform us to your image. And we thank you, again, just that you have not left us alone. You have left us with your word and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And we just thank you that positionally we are seated in the heavenlies with you. And we are so thankful for that. And let us just realize all the things that we have in Christ. And Father, we just commit the remainder of this day to you. And we just do this in your Son's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.